This week, Spider Woman. I've often wondered how people choose their creatures, making a lifelong commitment. For Miriam Rothschild, famously, it was fleas. Darwin was inordinately fond of beetles, as was God, according to J.B.S. Haldane. I have a good friend who's with the Australian Museum in Sydney who's delirious about worms. And I like birds who eat them. Barbara York Main likes spiders and has done for years. And if you listen to Vicky Laurie, you may even learn to love them too.
Just outside Barbara York Main's laboratory is a large flower pot filled with soil and a sign, warning, live spider. Inside her office, the only chair that's free of books, boxes and lab coats is wedged between two more flower pots with mesh grills and another sign, live spider, please do not disturb. I have to feed them with beetles, earwigs and earthworms, she tells me matter-of-factly. An earthworm will keep them going for months. Unlike little Miss Muffet, I'm dying to see the spider I'm sitting beside. Barbara removes the mesh, takes a dissecting knife and expertly lifts the lid of its burrow, taking care not to damage the silken hinge. She shines a light down a beautiful white sock-lined hole. I peer in and there, halfway down, is a large black trapdoor spider. I've wanted to meet Barbara York Main for years, ever since I wrote about discoveries of hundreds of new spiders in the Wheatbelt region of Western Australia. People had told me to contact this remarkable scientist. Now 84, she's still adding to the over 80 scientific papers and articles and two books she's written on spider taxonomy, location and natural history, in particular of trapdoor spiders or mygalomorphs. I ask her how many trapdoor species there are in the southwest of the state. I've no idea, she says. Hundreds, literally. We've got many more than other states, but most are undescribed. In Europe, they've got most of the trapdoors named, but they haven't got the same diversity or number of species. She's personally described 34 species of spiders and 7 new genera. As for how many species have been named in her honour, well, that's not uppermost in her mind. What she cares about is detailed observation and description. Taxonomy is almost her religion. She believes in the importance of precisely describing species, even in an era when taxonomists are seen as rather quaint endangered species. She leads me to a bank of shelves. Hundreds of bottles have spiders floating inside. People tell me she's perfected her own cataloguing system that makes it easy to find the precise specimen you're after. In a cupboard are big boxes with littler white boxes inside. She opens one, unwraps the tissue paper and reveals a portion of soil crust in the middle of which is a trapdoor lid. Suddenly, I understand this woman's scientific rigour. She collects not just the trapdoor spiders, but their doors. After all, they're as revealing about the species as the creature itself. She's even collected the leftovers from spider meals piled at the bottom of burrows. But back to the lids. See this plug and how snugly it fits into the rim, she says. It's like a bath plug, an adaptation to flood. I'm looking at a perfect plug the size of a 10-cent piece. It has a double lip so perfectly moulded to the hole that it would clearly seal it watertight when it rains. She opens another box. This time we're looking at a trapdoor as big as a 50-cent piece, and radiating from the burrow lip are twigs arranged in a starburst. The spider has woven them into a radial fan, so that passing prey, like ants, follow the twig lines up to the trapdoor opening. The spider senses movement over the twigs and waits just inside under its trapdoor. At the perfect moment, the spider flips the door open, lunges at its prey and drags it down the hole. The door of doom flips shut. I feel awed by the superb architecture of these plugs and ornate doors. Then there's the perfection of the lined burrow inside, as flawless as an eggshell and measuring up to 70 centimetres or more than 2 feet deep. Barbara York Main got her PhD from the University of Western Australia in the same year as her scientist husband Bert Main. While he went on to an academic career and elevation to Professor of Zoology, Barbara's trajectory was typical of bright, well-educated women in science in the 1950s and 60s. She had to fit her academic work in around three children and her husband's career. A kind professor let her take a microscope home and store her specimens at the university. Once the kids were at school, she went back to occupying a bench in the lab. There was no salary, she says, but I could get some typing done by the university staff. Was she ever resentful? She replies thoughtfully, I would have liked to have seen attitudes change toward more support for women. It was sheer prejudice because I was married to a member of staff. And yet the body of work she amassed and the number of students she supervised and inspired is huge. Mark Harvey is one. He's now senior curator at the WA Museum, and he remembers watching her tread gingerly around in the bush, wearing soft sneakers so as not to crush her trapdoor spider lids. He says, Barbara York Main has done more to bring an appreciation of trapdoor spiders than almost anyone, and she has a love of the bush that you don't see in many scientists. Well, this is how she characterises her contribution. I've done a lot of basic taxonomic work, especially on trapdoors, which has been helpful to a lot of people. But she did more than that. Her curiosity led her to move beyond the morphology of spiders. She wanted to understand the entire natural history, how the species adapted over time, why they live where they live. You can't just explain distributions without considering the geological time and history of the organisms and how long they've persisted, she says. Take her work on one of the wolf spiders in the genus Tapetosa. The carpet wolf spider has an oddly flattened carapace and abdomen, and its third pair of legs resemble a huntsman spider's. She thinks its flattened profile is the way it's adapted to living under narrow slabs of rock on the spectacular granite outcrops or tors that rise up across the southwest. She looks for wider explanations. For example, if the wheat belt region has a baffling variety of spiders, why is it? She thinks the answer lies in the fact that the southwest is one of the least changed terrestrial land surfaces on Earth. It stayed above sea level for millions of years, undisturbed by the kind of volcanic or glacial activity that reshaped other land surfaces, so very old and relatively younger spider species coexist here. She says, I think in terms of an ancient landscape preserved as salt lakes and undulating topography, the ridges retain some of the Gondwanan spider elements, isolates from a much earlier period. But surrounding these relictual species, she says, are later arid-adapted species. So there's two radiations knitted together in the wheat belt, those on the ridges and the later arid-adapted ones. They're all still there. One of her most remarkable observations is that trapdoor spiders can live a very long time, or at least the females can. And this is how she did it. In 1974, she mapped out the burrows of several dozen spiders in a segment of bushland reserve near her family farm. She says, I wanted to know how long the spiders lived and whether there was any difference between male and female maturation. She recorded how the male leaves his burrow at maturity, around 7 to 9 years old, and wanders in search of a mate, after which he dies. The female stays put, raising hatchlings inside the protection of her burrow, which she temporarily seals up with a mud plug. She lives on and on. I've got one spider from the original cohort that's still alive, she tells me. I do a quick calculation. If she first found it in 1974, that would mean the spider is 40 or so years old. Yes. I'm still wrestling with the idea of a geriatric spider when a nagging doubt creeps into my mind. And you know it's the same spider? Anticipating a query she's heard all too often, Barbara York Main bristles and then grins. When people say that to me, I could box their ears. These spiders don't move around like wolf spiders. They leave the mother's burrow, they make their own burrow, and within 24 hours they're settled in with a door and everything, and they stay there for as long as they live. I've had one in the lab here for 14 years, and it never made any attempt to move. Well, I just had to meet this spider. It took some months to arrange because she's busy working most days in the lab. We head out in her four-wheel drive on an eastward drive for an hour and a half to a bush reserve near the wheat belt town of Tammin. As we're driving along, she observes that this is the right time of year to visit. The bush is pretty fragile, she says, but after the first autumn rains, the bush is more comfortable in itself, if you know what I mean. This is the other aspect of Barbara York Main's acute powers of observation. She grew up on a farm in the wheat belt, among York gums, she oak and acacia bush, what's called Wodjil country. She says, I think all kids are interested in natural history because they're interested in where they are. I felt an immediate affinity with small things, not kangaroos or wedge-tailed eagles. I didn't have that one-to-one relationship with a kangaroo that I could with caterpillars. So I'd keep caterpillars and feed them in boxes and watch them turn into butterflies. She wrote about her beloved wheat belt in her natural history book, Between Wodjil and Tor, which historian Geoffrey Bolton has praised for its quality of observation, based on lifetime familiarity with the landscape. He notes how she realised that, quote, the clearance of native forests of salmon gum and York gum was followed inexorably by increased salt creep. In 1971, long before many others, Barbara wrote about salinity and other human-induced environmental problems in another book, Twice Trodden Ground. We arrive at an unremarkable bit of scrub. Park the car and walk in. At the foot of casuarina trees are dozens of small metal tags scattered across the hard red soil surface. Each one marks a trapdoor, all of them startlingly big, with elegant rays of twigs like flattened picket fences around a spider home. And there, in a burrow marked number 16, is our 40-year-old trapdoor spider, species Gaius villosus. I ask for a peek, and Barbara obliges with a quick flip up of the lid. Inside, I can just see the spider, which has pulled a veil of silk lining half across its burrow. Under my breath, I introduce myself and wish her well. We spend 3 hours on our knees as Barbara checks each burrow to see if it's occupied or not. She observes, with a mild air of concern, how few new trapdoor burrows there are and how unseasonably dry the reserve is. She says a drying climate, salinity and grazing are all enemies of the spiders. And rabbits are a problem, she says, pointing to a freshly dug burrow. They can scratch out 3 or 4 spider burrows while they're digging their own. How much longer can number 16, our 40-year-old spider, possibly live for, I ask. It seems a rather impertinent question to ask someone twice that age. But back comes the perfect answer from the most pragmatic of scientists. No idea whatsoever, she says. It's just a matter of finding out.
So we'll let you know. Sometime in the next 40 years, perhaps. Vicky Laurie in Perth. She and I were on the same ship to Australia, the Castel Felice, back in 1964. Next week, someone really special, one of the best first-time novelists I've read, Claire Thomas, talks about the writing of the marvellous Fugitive Blue. I'm Robin Williams.